So you don't mind taking out that money. So this is the nature of man. He doesn't just want to see the theory, but he wants to see the application as well. The application and where it's taking him. So when he sees that application, he feels motivated. And the motivation then drives him, pushes him on. The self, that means the pious predecessors, there were some words of advice that they kept, and they kept very dearly. They held on, and they held on very, very dearly. And Mullah Ali Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi says that some of these advices they had passed on to their students. As the students were completing 7 years, 10 years, then they passed this advice to them. In other words, to give them a start in life now, you hold on to this, then inshallah you won't stray away. So they would give them some golden advices, hold on to this, but hold on to it very firmly and strongly, inshallah you will not go off. The first advice they would say, مَنِ اتَّبَعَ السَّيْدَ غَفَلَ. The one that runs after game, then he becomes unmindful. So the advice is quite short, but it's got a deep meaning. Game doesn't only mean hunting, a buck or a deer, fishing, etc. All this comes under game. But the person that does this, he becomes unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. When you say unmindful, in other words, he is not so mindful of his obligations. His whole focus is the game. Right? So wherever the game is going to take him, then he's going to go behind it. So the game is like a recreation and a sport for the wealthy, right? Because every person can't afford it to go after deers and to go after whatever Africana bulls and all they have, right? So everybody can't afford all these things here. It is the sport of the wealthy. He can afford it. And the others can't afford it. So wherever this thing is going to take you, you're going to run. It has to take you to Zambia, you'll go to Zambia. It has to take you to Nairobi, you'll go to Nairobi. So you're not worried about how much it's going to cost, but you need to get there. It's a game. So when you look into this hadith, then the meaning when it's stretched, it will refer to any type of recreation sport, right? So when you get into the culture of sport and recreation, then you become unmindful. Unmindful of what? Of your obligations, your duties. You're not worried about your parents, you're not worried about your in-laws, you're not worried about immediate relatives, you're not worried about extended relatives. Nothing really bothers. The whole focus is this. A simple way to understand things was, alright, an average person, he has a 6 day week, right? One day, one half day, he's got a holiday, right? He's an average person. If we corrected our reasoning, so alright, the 5.5 days I was in my business, or I was in my work, I have 1.5 days. Right? If I did something for the physical betterment, what have I done for the spiritual growth and development of my home, my household? Because in the course of the week, I couldn't do it. I did just on the surface. I didn't do it seriously. Because I was consumed by my work. My work took my strength away, took my energy away, took my time away. Now, let's round up at the end of the week at least. The right thing was to give at least an hour, 1.5 hour to the children every day. That was the right thing. In fact, if you analyze life, then that's like an obligation, not an optional thing. Do some zikr together, Quran Sharif together, then do some kitab reading together. And the kitab reading, then one is the motivation and encouragement, and one the laws and the rules, both. Make some dua together. Ask the children what they have been doing for the week. So maybe you couldn't do it so well in the course of the week. Alright, even if you did, say, 1/2 hour, 3/4 hour, you did something. But now, you've got this 1.5 day. That 1.5 day, can't you dedicate it now? Let me do my deen. Let me see my children, how far they're going. Are they going backwards? Are they going forwards? What are they doing? If I'm not going to be concerned about them, then no person in the world is going to be concerned about my children. I have to take the initiative to be worried about my children. And remember, what you put in now, you may see the fruits of it maybe after 15 years, 20 years. You got a complaint today, I just want to show you two complaints, right? But when parents are not worried, then this is now the outcome of the children. One child came in for the madrasa, wherever it was, came in with a blue eye, right? 7-year-old child, small little child, came with a busted up eye now. So the ustad, whoever it was, he asked, he finds out, okay, what happened? He says, no, my stepfather or my stepfather had kicked me on the eye. So what happened? So the child is saying, okay, my parents are divorced, so my mother got married. And the person my mother got married to, now see the child's words, she kicked me. The person that my mother married, she kicked me on the eye. She got upset from something and she kicked me. But what did you say? Who kicked you? Or she? What do you mean? My mother married someone like her. My mother married also a woman. But now you see, we don't pass on values to these children. And what they pick up is what they read. And what they face, what they see around, they are doing it, people are showing this type of things, this type of same-sex marriages, etc. They're showing it. So what do these growing individuals think, developing minds think? That this is a norm, what's wrong if we do it? That was one case that came, right? Another case that came, these are all not poor people. Don't think it's all poor people that's happening in. So the child, they gave her the freedom, they got wealth. So when you got wealth, you give the child the freedom, give her the room, whatever. And the child runs away. She's hooked onto these films, Bollywood films, etc. Going on and on and on. And she can imitate and act exactly like those people that act in the Bollywood. She became so thick, she built up a rapport with those people and she went there actually. She lived with those people for approximately 3 months. Father tried to pull her back, brought her once, she's gone again. What is happening? Allah Pak knows. So you got the time to give them some entertainment, some sports, whatever else, you got the time. But do we say now to ourselves, okay, alright, I've got this 1.5 day in the week, right? And can I make a change to my house? I'm looking at my children, my daughter is growing up, my son is growing up. What dini values am I putting into these children? So as I was mentioning this, so one student asked me, no, Murana, but you know what, we have dawats and all that. What do we do about those dawats? And normally the dawats come around the weekend. So then what do you do? How do we reconcile the dawats? So I told him, see, everything can work out when you show an importance to it. When you show it's significant, then you will show importance to it. It's 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, it's your busy business hour, and someone gives you a dawat. Will you say, now, you know, dawat is sunnat, I must go and respond to the sunnat. You schedule to go on a flight at 3 o'clock, and someone gives you a dawat at 2:30. Are you going to attend that? You attach an importance. When you attach an importance, you push everything aside. But I can't manage it. I got some very important commitments. So the one thing we can do in this 1.5 day that we have off, right, we plan ourselves. Now these type of changes, we can't make it drastic because then you're going to cause a fight in the house. Wife is going to shout you, or you're going to shout the wife, and she will say, you pushing, or you will say, she's pushing. Right? So you'll have to do it, but with some planning, some type of thought, idea. After all, you have business class, right? When you have the business class, then you want to sell a product, you make a plan. Right? You make it work, alright? You can't sell it this way, you can't sell it in this market. Let's do the marketing differently, let's do the advertising in a different way. But we'll get that working. Whatever you want, we'll get it working. So we need something to work in the house, But we need to understand within our minds without a fight, without a confrontation. And if I'm not going to do it in the house, then nobody's going to do it. I'm going to shout the child after 20 years, it is the seed that I have planted. I didn't worry about his weekend. Weekend came, no, the weekend is now just entertainment, run around here, there, go and visit someone here, go some entertainment, some park, eat a braai or something and finish. But from the beginning, if we haven't done it from the beginning, now can't we start it? I need to invest in this. We had a story now, so talking only in a short span of time, within 3 weeks. When we didn't do this, we didn't teach the children values, etc. from the very beginning. Now those children are strong, mighty and big. The father went to tell something to the child, some nasihat he's giving to his child. So both the sons caught up, they slapped and kicked the father, chased him out. You see, this is what we're investing into. You must expect that. When you planted a thorny tree, you must have a thorny bush. You must expect that. Now you want the child to become nek and he must become pious and bodhaya and all that. That doesn't work. It's what you invested into the child, that's what you will see, that's what you will reap. So you get this things coming about, when you get it coming about, when we conduct ourselves in this manner. So see the hadith, how clear it is. Follow the person that follows a game, then he becomes unmindful. Unmindful means you, unmindful of your duties, your obligations, what Allah Pak wants. You're unmindful of your future life. You're unmindful about it. You don't know what's going on. And you will use so many things just to appease yourself. One person comes here and he says, you know what, I went for Umrah and all that with good niyats. I left a caregiver in the house, and then whilst I was there in the Umrah, and then my mother passed away. It was around the Christmas weekend, whatever. But the caregiver was gone, and she had to do whatever she had to do. And she came back to the house after 3-4 days to find a body that was full of stench, smell, stinking. Can't even go near the body, so much of stench. But now, you see this recreation, entertainment. There's two things that our Indian people talk about. They talk about from the old, they talk about that the more you put yourself into an entertainment culture, the more you want to go into it. It doesn't stop from the Bergs, then let's go to Cape Town, from Cape Town, let's go to Disney World, let's go somewhere. It wants to escalate all the time. But then you are sacrificing, you are compromising all your real values, came in from your grandfather's time. Values that came in all are sacrificed. Everything is gone down. Everything is smashed down. So if we sit with these children, teach them, understand them, make them understand what are the real values, listen to the Quran Sharif. Mind you, we think to ourselves, we appease ourselves. See, the man has come to complain, right? Or he came to say this. He's appeasing himself that I gave my attention to my mother. But he came, why? Because his conscience was hurting him. That this is what happened in my absence, this is what happened. So he had to share it with someone. But deep down he knows he was guilty. Otherwise, there wasn't a need for him to share this with me. Why did he share with me? If he shared it with me, that means he's guilty, that I didn't do something right. Now, he wanted now me to endorse that, just to rubber stamp that what you did was right, never mind, Allah give her jannat and all that, and just go over it. But was that the right thing to do at that time? You see, so this Umrah, etc., has become like an entertainment, like a sport now. Go there, chill down a little bit, cool off, and come back. So it is not done in a true spirit of ibadat. So if from the beginning, we work on these children as they're growing up, they understand, they've got some relatives, they've got some aunt, right? Normal day, we just get about half an hour to spend with our children. Now, as comes the weekend, so we got Saturday half day, because Sunday the full day. Or Saturday we can take 2 hours, let's see what we can do, what talim we can do, what zikr. Let's consult with them, let's see what they're doing, what's worrying them, what's troubling them. Let's give them some better ideas. Let's talk to them, right? All right, play a little bit also, I don't say you don't play. But play with them, and then you've got at least 2 hours. On a Sunday then you've got 4 hours. And then you show them the importance, all right, we will go for an outing, but we've got this auntie that is ailing, we've got that uncle that is not right. We've got this person here, this neighbor here that is a little bit in a bad way. Let's see what we can do for all this. Now that's a true Muslim. Otherwise, now your life just goes entertainment from one level to the other level. Food from one level to the other level, right? I tasted my diner, so I must go to Spurs. Finish Spurs, now some other one, Continental. Continental, I must go and eat in Cape Town. They've got something extra there. So this, our culture is coming in. They say that eating and entertainment, the more you take it up, the more it escalates. No ceiling for it. It carries on. But if you look at it, it is the same thing. It is just changing things around, right? From a samosa to a rocket. And from a rocket, I think it will be a Sputnik. Right? And carries on. The culture just carries on. Just carry one to the other. And the enjoyment is just for that few centimeters. How many centimeters? I feel 10 centimeters. And the enjoyment is gone. Finished after that. Do you get anything after that? Nothing after that. But for that, we invest so much. Rather, we invest in these children here. Show them values, but with a love, not grudging, not forcing them and not pushing them. But show them who are you, who you are, what's your worth, what you can make of yourself. Can't we do these things here? If we didn't do it, can't we start it off? What a family now. You've got so many daughters, so many sons. But these are basic, basic things that we are neglecting. We want to hear a high profile talk, you know, something very high on tasawuf, to give us a real drive, real charge. But then who's going to do these basic things? I ask you, who's going to do these basic things? So when we see that type of results, don't feel surprised. But this is what we were investing in, and that's the return that you are seeing now. If your daughter is running away, if she needs to be put into a rehab, right? She has to be put into a rehab, and you have to pay 40,000 every month for that. Don't be surprised. I'm talking of real figures. Just telling you hypothetical, but I'm talking of real figures. You have to put her into a rehab and pay 40,000 every month. Then don't get a shock, because this is what you invested in. So if we put real figures, real values in these children, they're growing up, one thing will strike in their minds. One woman, she phoned up and she says that I was just 20 seconds away from suicide. But my mother used to do talim. Mother, elder, should do talim. In the talim, one day we were talking about some other subjects and the topic of suicide had come up. So my mother said, you see, if you're going to do suicide, you'll be worse off on the other side of the fence. Because you keep on killing yourself in the main manner that you killed yourself, you will keep on killing yourself continuously till the day of Qiyamah. So you'll be worse off. Here, it'll be a small, small agony, grief, pain that you're going through. But if you ever take your life, then that's going to be a continuous torment, continuous agony, pain all the time, right till the day of Qiyamah. So just that words of my mother, that talim, you know, that talim that my mother took, the pain to learn that hadith and teach it to me, at that crucial moment, that thing stuck in my mind, you know, and it saved my life. Now, that incident has happened, it's 20 years over, but the talim session that my mother took with us, she took the pain, she taught us, now we are to separate in life, as we've gone forward in life, oh, you have the trials of life, but what my mother put into my mind, that stuck into my mind. A youngster is asked, he's speaking about his own self. He says, see, as we grew up, 18, 19, 20 years of age, or 15 years of age, and the children went free. And then they went into one thing to the other, womanizing and drugging, whatever they went into. But alhamdulillah, Allah Pak saved me from that. All, we went driving, a little bit drifting and all. We did all that. But into this womanizing and drugging, then Allah Pak saved us. But what saved you? So now my mother used to conduct the talim every day. And she used to give some time, some attention to us. We used to sit there, listen to her. But sometimes it would be a little bit difficult. She would be overbearing. But when I came of age, then I understood that if I'm going to do this, the warnings that the hadith sounds about this type of a life, what's going to be the end, I didn't want to take a chance. I didn't want to risk myself. I didn't want to gamble with my life. But you see the talim, the good words, the mother takes the time and does all this. If the mother and the father is not going to take out the time, the weekend comes, we booked him on Spurs and to this gateway and that mall, whatever, the whole weekend is gone like that. I ask you, are these junglies? Are these people from the bush? Are your children people from the bush? Are they worth the bush? What? But you will nurture them, they will come up. You will give them right values, they will show you, they will repay you. You show them good values, and they will repay you. I tell you, even a non-Muslim, even a kafir, if he shows good values to his children, provided he is doing it regularly, sincerely, his children will show him, will repay him. One Hindu is going through a problem, right? I'm showing a Hindu. He's going through a problem in his job. So he discusses it with his children. He says, Abba, whatever they say, Daddy, whatever. Daddy, leave your job, we'll look after you. They set him up. So take 20,000, this is a house, everything, you can just look after yourself. Whatever you want, we will take care of you. But you don't have to, why do you have to go through this difficulty and agony? So that means that Hindu put in values into his children. When he put in values into his children, now when he was in his old age and he couldn't manage the job for whatever reason, now they are repaying. But now that requires that you invest into these children. After all, they're not bush, they're not junglies, right? We treat them like that. We got time for everything else. For the recreation, we got time, for the dawah, we got time, for the walima, we got time, for the wedding, we got time. But for our own children, to give them a shape, to give them a direction, to give them a mold, do we have that concern? We're going to get paid as what we had put into them. What we put into them, now we're getting paid for that same thing. So this was the first advice that they would give. Mani taba'a sayyid ghafala. You're going to go after recreation, all these things here, food, recreation, enjoyment, excitement, you'll get it. In Durban, you'll go to Milky Lane. And in Johannesburg, you'll go to Zoo Lake. And Cape Town, you'll go to Waterfront. It's the same thing. The concept is the same, whether it's Zoo Lake or whether it is Milky Lane, wherever you're going, it's the same thing. But why more greater than all the Zoo Lake and Waterfront is your children. Now, you went out to all these places here, but you lost the children after that. After a short span of time, they don't want to. Man is, he worked for his children. He left them an empire for about 10 million. First time I'm telling you, right? He gave it to them. Now he's got a heart attack. So the children are wondering now, what do we do? Because how much is this surgery is going to cost? Half a million now. Where are we going to get the money from? They forgot all the favor that the father had done for them. It's going to cost us about half a million or 1 million rand just to go through this whole thing here. So they forgot all the kindness and the good that the father did. And they are worried about how much it's going to cost, how much we're going to lay out for this child. See how they turn around. Now you don't blame these children altogether, because what you had planted into them was material. Material, material, material. So material showed you what material it is. The material showed you at the end what it is. You show the material. At the end they showed you what you hear recently, or recent past, 100, 200 years ago. A man is coming from Khurasan, somewhere, wherever, 100, 200, 300 miles, but all the way to Hajj, he's coming walking with his mother over his shoulders, carries her. I saw in the early days, 79, when he went for Hajj, man is carrying his mother right through to the haram, making tawaf with her over his shoulders. With all the respect, all the love, like how you show to a small child, pamper her, respect her. But if that value is shown to the child, when it grows up, it will show you to return. Reciprocate, right? So this is the first lesson that the old used to teach to their juniors, to their small ones, to the children, to the students. Mani taba'a sayyid ghafala. You will become negligent of your duties. Ghafala, you will become negligent of your duties. What's your real duties in life? You forgot about it. To look after, to take care, to show love, to show compassion, to give quality time. Now your mother is aging, you don't just give her 1 hour. Just give her 1 hour on Sunday and finished. She enjoys the company. Don't you enjoy company? Don't you long for company? Now imagine you age now 75, 80 and you lost your wife. And your children come once a week. About how are you? Alright, I love my father. I love my daddy. I got a present, I love my daddy, finish class, next week I'll love you again. Now is that the type of love and compassion you need? So what you invest into them, you will get the same return afterwards. Same thing you will get there. The second advice that they should give, وَمَنْ أَتَى السُّلْطَانَ أُفْتُتِينَ. Sultan normally refers to a king, but in our context it will refer to any person that is influential, affluent, influential, right, who makes decisions, etc. So he says, the hadith says, that the person that goes to this class of affluent, influential people, then he will come under some trial. Uftutina, he'll get some problem, some difficulties, he'll come under some trial. As you're going to the person, obviously when you go to that person that is wealthy, influential, then his influence, his affluence, his wealth, and his belongings, his property, etc., he would talk about these things. When he talks about these things, or you see it around, then you get impressed, you get overwhelmed. You want the same type of comforts. When you saw all these things here, you saw this, you want the comforts. So you will come under trial, you will come under some difficulty, because this is the type of people that you mixed up with. You joined up with this affluent class. So now, when you joined up with them, then you want the same luxury, the same comforts. They got this building, they got that property, they got this investment. Eventually, your mind begins to think in the same manner. Right. So, by joining them up, it doesn't mean you joined them up, you became wealthy also. He struggled, you have to struggle. And he's not going to let go of his money. You think that wealthy person, you're going to befriend him, and he will just let go of his money. Maybe he'll call you for an invitation. Once off, maybe he'll give you 10 grand, 10,000, right? Once off, he'll give you. But you come the second time, say, now you're making it a habit now. He won't appreciate you coming for the second time. And if you want to, right, you'll go on the trial. You'll have to sacrifice some of your scruples. Some of your values, you'll have to sacrifice it in order to get this kind of confidence. Very seldom do you find a person who goes to this type of affluent, influential people, and he remains firm. He doesn't compromise, doesn't mince his words. Otherwise, you get that situation where you want to compromise. You want to play a balancing act. Win this side, get best of the both worlds. I tell you, believe me, without any proof, you hold firm to your deen, trust in Allah Ta'ala, display a good character, you will not be short of anything. Be firm on your deen, live a life of moderation, trust in Allah Ta'ala firmly, don't look at people's wealth, don't even allude towards it, not at all. But you will enjoy your life, you will be comfortable. In this influential people, right, what they want a little bit of name, glory, entertainment, that's what they want, right? So for the name and glory and entertainment, they'll have some yes men, you know. Yes men. In other words, whatever they talk about, whatever they say, you must support it. Even if they spoke about the most ridiculous thing, but you must support it in some way or the other. So you have some yes men. So he'll talk about, see, when he's an influential person, he wants to talk about something. How brave he is and how great he is. So he wants to impress, I did this, and these were my achievements, you know. Right? A young person will speak differently, an elderly person speaks differently. Young person will show how brave he is, how talented he is, how he managed to do things, right? And an old person will show something else, but each intention is to impress the other, to overwhelm the other. So this young person, he's with his circle, and in his circle now, he's impressing those youngsters that are around him. He's got his yes men, and he's impressing them. You know, I went hunting the other day, you know. And, you know, when I aimed, I shot, you know. And you know how I shot? That bullet broke the hoof and bust the brain box and was out. Now, everybody that is seated on, okay, how did this happen now? Where's the hoof? And where's the brain box? How this thing happened? So the yes man was there. The yes man had to think about something straight away. He had to fake up some story straight away. So the yes man says, no, it's a fact. You know what happened? At that time, the deer was scratching his head. So we don't, see, when we go into all these type of things, we don't realize, we're becoming yes men. We're compromising, we're playing a balancing act. we are not straight, we are not honest in what we are doing. So the second advice that they used to impart to the students, Man ata sultana uftatina. You go there, then you will be under trial, some problem or the other. Keep yourself modest, moderate. You don't need anything. Really, you don't need it. Allah Pak will give it to you. And you won't feel interested in these things. It's a small phase. You see that someone is eating it, alright. You will crave for it for an hour. That's past your mind. Once you slept and you woke up, you forgot about it. God, it's gone. For that moment, you will think about it. But after that, it's gone out of your mind. So you get a very selected class who can go to these type of places, but they don't get affected. As Mawlana Yusuf bin Nuri Sahib rahmatullahi, so he came into contact with the Mufassir of that time, very good Mufassir, Allama Johar, they used to call him, Jawahirut Tafsir. Some people used to speak about Imam Razi rahmatullahi's Tafsir, and they used to say, Fi kullu shayin illa tafsir. You'll get everything else in this tafsir, but tafsir. You won't get tafsir, everything you'll get. Any information you want, you'll get it. But you won't get tafsir in it. So, but it's wrong to make that statement against Imam Razi, because his book is a great book, very great book, right? But Yusuf bin Nuri Sabra says that he was in Egypt, and he met up with this person, a very influential, very mighty person, comes and he has to meet up with him. So this Allama Johar, his tafsir is Jawahirut Tafsir, he asked Yusuf Sahib, what's your impression about, do you read my book? What do you think about it? Because his book was quite popular. Allama Tantawi, his real name is Johar, right? So he knows he goes as Allama Tantawi. So he asked Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi, that you have come across my tafsir, so what's your impression? So he says, yes, I have gone through your book, and I have gone through your book so thoroughly that I am in a position of making a decision in your book. I am in a position of making my opinion and giving a suggestion in your book. You know, you get a book review. I can review the book. I have gone through it so well. So he says, now he's very, very enthusiastic to know what was the review, what was his impression. This brings me to a small, very important point, right? See this, I've been hinting about this, but now it's a reality. These books that come into our homes, Muslim Woman, Ummah, Islam Today, Husna, nearly every book that you find in the market, I don't think that our home should be keeping these books. Because I see sometimes students have these things here. So I page through it. I see some terrible, ridiculous things. Very, you know, talking about boy-girlfriend relationship, how they made Toba, etc., but how they carried on, continued. So if it's an amateur, now he learns how to make up a relationship. Now they're not realizing what it's creating in the child's mind. He's only seeing a love story, so he understands, all right, this is how you connive. Behind your parents is what you need to do. Now these are not the stories that you're supposed to be writing in such a book. So these people that are writing the book, they don't have Islam in them. When they don't have Islam in them, what Islam are they going to impart to you? They themselves are not bereft of Islam. They don't have any Islam in them. Then what are they going to impart to you? The one that has got Islam, he's tasted the flavor of Islam, he can pass on Islam to you. But he doesn't have Islam in him. Woman is not dressed rightly, she doesn't behave rightly. Right? Then what Islam is she going to pass on to the next person? That person who's tasted Islam, he's in the flavor of Islam, he's appreciated Islam, he can pass on the Islam to the next person. But the person doesn't have the true flavor. It is just a theory that he's talking about. It is just a story of what he would like Islam to be. Not what Islam is and what it's supposed to be and how you're supposed to be behaving, but what you would like Islam to be. So you're reading their books, and then your mind gets shaped accordingly. According to Muslim Woman, Ummah, etc., your mind is getting shaped. Mawlana Yunus Patel once, we are walking out of the Masjid, Mallinson Road, you can see these books here. 90% is all adverts. So are you looking at these books for adverts, or are you looking at these books to learn some Islam? Some Islamic articles, you know, somewhere they would just fit it in. Now, is that justice to Islam? You call it an Islamic magazine. Is it justice to Islam? And is it justice to the Muslims that his mind is going to get warped now? His mind is going to really get warped. So that is not the thing for a Muslim home. A Muslim home gets some Islamic magazine or literature of the person that you know of. He's deep into Islam. He's understood Islam very well. And he's in a position of imparting Islam. And you're going to allow these books, then you're going to get that behavior in your children. In your wife, you're going to get that behavior. And you are the Amir of the house. كُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَأِيَّتِي. Everyone is responsible. You got these books here, they taking a wrong turn, it's your responsibility. So Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah is telling him, see, I've read your book, and I'm in a position of making an opinion, drawing an opinion, a review on the book. So he seemed to be very interested, but what is the review going to be? What do you have to suggest of my book? So see, for an average Arab alim, it's a wonderful book. Because generally Arabs don't understand English. And you see, you've got a lot of scientific facts here. All about science and whatever. All these facts, you've got it loaded into this tafsir. So because all these facts are found in the English language, they're not found in Arabic. Like if anybody wants to find some scientific theory, etc., he'll find it very easily in your tafsir. So that, it's a genuine service that you have contributed, you know, any scientific fact, but now the person is not acquainted with the language, he'll find it in the Arabic language. But otherwise, it's a total, now what I'm saying, total disservice to the science of tafsir. It's a total disservice to the science of tafsir, because this is going totally diverse against the science of tafsir. And then he says, you see, where you went wrong is you found a scientific fact. When you found a scientific fact, you try to squeeze in the Quran Sharif to prove that fact. You try to force the Quran Sharif to prove that fact. Right. For example, you heard about the Big Bang theory now. So you try to force some Quranic ayat into that theory to show that it is in conformity with the Quran. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَ رَتْقًا. So you try to force in the Quran Sharif to prove that theory. Now the wrong in this is that the scientific theories, they go on changing. If someone is acquainted with science, etc., look at about the science books that came about five, six centuries away. Right? At that time, they believed that the earth was flat. Right? Now with all the new technology, etc., they've proven that the earth is not flat, it is global, it is oval, right? Oval in shape. Right? Now imagine if someone use the Quran Sharif to prove this theory that the earth is flat. Well, أَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا, they used it. At that time, someone used it. And they said, well, أَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ. We spread it out like a carpet. So that means the earth is flat. So they're using the Quranic ayat. Now he used the Quranic ayat to prove this theory. Later on, when it was discovered now that the earth is not flat, it is oval, now what do you do with this ayat of the Quran Sharif? You see, you're going to be doubtful of the Quran Sharif itself. So the Quran Sharif is not a scientific book. It is guaranteeing you that I am a book of hidayat. You want guidance, you hold on to me. But I am not a book of science and biology. That is a scrap book. Any scrap shop, you'll find that. I am a book of hidayat. You want to gain access to Allah Ta'ala, I will guarantee you, you hold on to me and I will lead you to Allah Ta'ala. That's the guarantee, that is the claim that the Quran Sharif is making. It stands out for it. It stands to its word. That you want hidayat, you want access, and you want to gain proximity to Allah Ta'ala. I will guarantee you that. But you hold on to me very firmly, and I will guarantee you that you will gain an access to Allah Ta'ala. So that, you see, in that zamana, this was about 35, 40 years ago, people were very truthful. Very truthful. In fact, more than 40 years, because Mawlana passed away around 76, 77. So that was 10 years before, that's about 50 years. 50 years ago this happened. So people were very truthful at that time. Now that Arab alim, Sheikh Tantawi, he wasn't upset with this. So his closing words to Mawlana was, Lasta bi alimin hindin, بَلْ أَنْتَ مَلَكٌ أَنْزَلَهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ الْإِصْلَاحِ. You aren't an Indian alim. You are an angel that Allah Ta'ala has sent down from the heavens for my reformation and correction. See that? His closing words. Mawlana straight told him clearly, as he seen the book, he says to him that this is the wrong that I have seen in your book. And this is how it's going to create doubts and suspicions in the minds of unwary people. But you are the catalyst, you are the cause of all this. So he got a shock. He didn't realize that what he was doing. He found some scientific facts, etc. And he tried to squeeze in to prove that the scientific facts are in accordance to the Quran. Now he realized, okay, there's a different dimension to this. There's a different perspective to this. That what about if this is going to lead to some type of doubts and suspicions in people's mind? Because science is always changing. It's always improving. They say something now, 50 years time, they say something else. And they go on changing. So that is the second piece of advice that the aslaf, the righteous, used to give to their juniors. Very well thought of. Very well thought of. Man ata sultan uftutina. You go and frequent this type of class, this class of people, then you will come under trial. Some trial or the other you will come under. Yes, if there is someone at that caliber, that level, like Mawlana Yusuf Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, it's a different thing altogether. He is now in a press conference, and there's that Anwar Sadat at that time, you know, 1960s. And Anwar Sadat was very, very impressed with Mawlana, his knowledge, etc. He was very impressed. So he wanted to take a photo with Mawlana. Now they don't know, although they're Arab speaking, now this is where people go wrong. They feel, he knows Arabic, so he knows everything. It's a wrong way of thinking. Wrong way of, he can speak Arabic, he can talk Arabic, he understands Arabic. So he's got, he doesn't know, clean shaven, they don't even know about it. Yesterday one person was saying he came from Egypt. So they were driving in a taxi. So the guide is shouting, what is this? It's not Islam. This is, just throw it out. Now pure Arabic, they understand the Quran, it's their language. But they don't know deen. Now we get deceived in this way, that he knows Arabic, so he knows Islam. So when he knows Islam, then he is the right guide. But he doesn't know that keeping a beard is compulsory. When Nabi Sam had got that in Persian envoy, Nabi Sam actually turned his Mubarak face away. Who asked you to do this? He was so upset at them. But now these people, that thing that upset Nabi Sam is upsetting them. That thing that caused that upsetting Nabi Sam, right? That keeping that is upsetting them. Nabi Sam was upset with shaving. And they are upset with keeping. Imagine, totally worlds apart. Nabi Sam is saying something else, and they saying something else. Totally different, worlds apart. So the language is not so important as the application. Yes, understand it. Maybe you can't express yourself, but have you understood it? You understood it, it's enough. So this is where people go wrong, you know. And someone said, no, can't we translate those books into English so everybody can understand? Now you've got a hadith and you've got a commentary on a hadith now, why don't you translate it? It's going to be problems. Everybody's going to read those commentaries. Is everybody in the position of understanding all those commentaries? Number one. Number two, if you don't get a translation, you are demanding why they don't come up with a translation. So I ask you, now it's a person that is Zulu speaking, right? And he speaks to a doctor, you know. But why aren't these medical books translated in Zulu? What do you tell him? By you go and learn the language and go into the company of these people here, you will get that thing. But he wants it to come into Zulu. That person is speaking Swana, he must come into Swana. That person is speaking Gujarati, he must get into Gujarati. By that one language, you found it, you found those medical books, go and learn the language and you will get the access. So this is the second piece of advice that they would give. You go to this class of people, you will come under trial. Mawlana, on that occasion, that press conference, he says, when demands were made, you know, Mawlana, you appear on television, you know, and you know, that exposure that you will get, and so many people will benefit, etc. 1 week before he passed away. So Mawlana says, you see, Mawlana was about the greatest alim in Pakistan. He, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, was the greatest, the first line, the first, second, third ulama, So now see the words Mufti Taqi Sahib is quoting him, and see the words. Mawla says, you see, our duty is to spread Islam within the parameters of the Sharia. That's our duty. If we remain within that duty, and nobody accepts Islam, hum kamyab, that's his words, we are successful. We remain within the parameters, and we spread deen, and nobody accepted, one person accepted, nobody accepted, we are kamyab. I was such a great alim, 1 week before he's passed away, Mufti Taqi Sahib is writing this article, right? And he's speaking to an open conference, he's speaking to them, this is our duty, we spread Islam within the confines, the parameters of the Sharia. We do this, and nobody accepts that, because we're doing it in a very conventional, old-fashioned style, and not much exposure. Nobody accepting, one person accepting, we are kamyab. Now, Mawla can speak. See, that person meets this class of people, is not a problem. But everybody feels that I am Mawla Yusuf Sahib and I can go into these places here and I won't get affected, then you're wrong. You don't have that clout, you don't have that type of taqwa, you don't have that righteousness, you don't have that istiqamat, and you're pretending to be what you're not. And then he says, after that, on the contrary, if we went into this type of things, the word that he used, film, right, television, etc., videos, we went into this type of thing, and scores of people, hundreds of people accepted, right, so, ye uski koi haisiyat hi nahi. There's absolutely no reward for this. No success, no reward for it. Because we overstepped the mark. In doing whatever we were doing, we overstepped the mark. So there is no reward, no returns for it, absolutely no return. Kya faida? What's the faida? Now this is just 1 week before he passed away. And he's about the most leading alim in Pakistan. At that time, you won't find an alim at that level. So that was the second piece of advice that they would pass on. And the third piece of advice they would give, Man sakana al-badiyata jafa. You go and live in a farm in an unpopulated area, right? Like how it's the norm now, could live in an estate now. Oh, nobody living there, quiet, security and all that. So you're living in an unpopulated area, right? What happens to you? Jafa. You become hard-hearted. You become harsh. Cold now. You've got no feelings for people because you're living with all and sundry. You're living an isolated life. So you're living an isolated life. So what happens to you? You don't have feeling for the needy, for the underprivileged. You don't have that. You become hard and harsh. See, the old people, they lived with the people, whether wealthy or whatever, but they lived with the people. Number two, their greater concern was, we must live within a community, such a place we must live, that we need three levels of Islam. We need it to be accessible to us, religious activities, etc. It's within proximity that we can reach out to a masjid, to a bayan, very easily. You can hear the azan, right? Like we need to be motivated and encouraged, then our respected wives also need to be encouraged and motivated. They need some activity as well. Some right type of activity near the home, encouraging them, right? Taleem or whatever it is, some bayan or some taleem that like you see in the tablighi halkas, right? So it's motivating them as well. We are getting motivated, we're going to a masjid. We are going to a bayan. They don't have these type of opportunities. So if there's something like that, taleemi halqa, or there is a bayan, they're getting motivated. Or the least is at least, then we are passing what we learned to the household. It mustn't be that you're going to Jannat and they're going to Jahannam. You're only concerned about your Jannat and you're disconcerned of them. So the second type of activity, you need to be living at a place where it's easily accessible, close proximity to dini activity. Good mahol, people are practicing. People are going to the masjid, coming back. There's something for the woman as well. If you're getting motivated, they're getting motivated. You're wearing charge, they're getting charged. You're wearing proper Islamic clothing, they're wearing proper clothing. Otherwise, you'll find one dariwala wearing kurta and his wife, no proper scarf, no proper face not covered, and they're walking together. Now, he says, no, I don't want to force her, she must do it of her own. But he doesn't feel embarrassed to walk with a woman like this. So she is walking in one direction, you walking in a different direction. So there must be some activity for the woman as well. Then the third activity is for the children. What activity, what Islamic activity, how can they join up, how can they link up? Is there proper maktab? Can they go up? Because the school won't offer that. You are sending to your child to the school. You got it in your mind and the school got it in his mind. We need to see that these children matriculate correctly. Islam comes in, that's a bonus, it's a perk, it came in. But what is the criteria? Criteria is that child must come up with a good matric pass. That's what he wants. So whether the child can read Quran Sharif or not, it's not our problem. Whether he knows masail and laws pertaining to puberty or not, that's not our problem. What we want to see is that that child comes out with flying distinctions at the end of his matric. That's what we want. So you will get what you paid for, what you intend, you will get that. But is the child that you grew up, that you nurtured and you brought up, is he flavored with Islam? Does he have the spirit of Islam? Islam is worlds apart from Islam. He must have got a little bit of the circular education. But if you talk about deeni flavor, deeni spirit, then he is totally away, miles apart from it. So you see this important messages, important points that the old used to pass on to their juniors, right? And as I say at the beginning, we'll have to make it work. We can't expect this to come from outer space and suddenly our children just turning around. We'll do it, it'll happen. We'll do it. You can't just say takdeer and therefore it happened. A simple example that I normally quote, you want to buy a motor car, right? You know, it's a white woman. She only went to work and came back about 2 kilometers. And one is one of our type of Indian, you know, same car we bought, but everybody was jamming that car, pushing it, load and overloading and smashing it here, there. And this must be a more recent model, that is, must be 1-2 years older. Which one you will prefer? Ask yourself, you maintain that thing, that will show you that service.